I'll begin by reading, starting with verse 1. Baal bows down, Nebo stoops, their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle. Your beasts and upon the cattle, your carriages, were heavy laden. They are a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together, they could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. Hearken to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnants of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly and are carried from the womb. And even to your old age I am he, and even to hoary hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry you. I will carry and will deliver you. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that you may be like? They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in a balance and hire a goldsmith and he makes it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him and set him in his place. He stands from his place shall he not remove. Yea, one shall cry to him, yet he cannot answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this, and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executes my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, and I will also do it. Hearken to me, you stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness, it shall not be afar off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel my glory. Doesn't seem like a lot of words there, but there's a whole bunch in there. Okay, we know this is a continual process of our inner growth. Okay, this is a revealing of things in parabolic language, in symbolic language, of telling us a story. And we know that Jesus said in the Gospels that he would only speak to the multitudes in parables. So that's telling me everyone is not to hear yet. Everyone does not have the ear to hear. So he's speaking to individuals that he has chosen before the foundation of the world. Does that make sense? So when someone comes along and all of a sudden they hear something and other people will just keep right on walking, that's the one God gave the ear to. Don't bother the other nine that keep on going on. Just let them walk. See? They're healed. They just haven't been made whole. Okay? But we know this is something taking place internally in each one of us that has ears to hear. And he said, Baal, or literally Baal was his name, the Babylonian idol, bows down, and Nebo, which is was a prophet for the Babylonians, stoops, and their idols, their images in their mind, not were, but are, the beasts. See, that word upon shouldn't even be there. Their idols is their beast. See, what are we called? What is man called?
A brute
beast. Okay? This is our images. This is what we have in our minds about this image that we look like. That's the idols we have. Humanity is in love with humanity. Does that make sense? Humanity loves humanity. They don't want to give it up, do they? And he's identifying this within each one of us, that our idols we see, the things we think too highly of, are the beasts that were the beasts of burden, but they're destroying us, not helping us. And he says, the beasts, the cattle, your carriages or your loads were what? Or are heavy what? Not heavy laden, but they're heavy imposed burdens. They are a burden to the weary, not to the weary beast, but to the weary. So when we get carrying these idols and things, these heavy loads, that they're imposed upon us. Who imposed it upon us? yourself. Don't blame no church system, because we accepted the burden. We imposed it upon ourselves. We have to quit blaming anybody else for my life. I got to accept my responsibility. Everything that happens to me, I brought upon me. Okay? If you can say that honestly, not just because I said it, but because you know in your life that you have to accept responsibility for what's going down. I didn't have anything happen because poor me, it was stupid me. I done stupid things in my life. And everybody's been there, haven't they? You've got to accept that responsibility and go on. Don't worry about it. Don't look back and beat yourself up because you made a mistake. Realize that that mistake helped you get to where you are today. It made you a stronger person, didn't it? Don't worry about it. You can't live in the past. There's no future in the past, I think the saying goes.
Don't you say weary was?
Let me get back to it. Actually, it says heavy laden, but it's where did I say weary at?
At the end of the verse.
Oh, I just said a burden to the weary. The weary not being a beast, like the word imposed there at the end says beast, but it's an added word. If you look, it's a, what do they call it?
Italicized,
yeah. So it's an added word. So leave that word off. So to the weary. We are the weary ones because we're carrying loads we were not designed to carry.
Okay.
We're not designed to carry these things we're carrying. That's why we get tired. That's why our physical bodies feel the way they do. That's why our minds feel like they do. Because we're carrying stuff we shouldn't be carrying. A long time ago, I had a discussion with my daughter. And we don't have a communication today, but I told her, I said, you know, I accept responsibility for not being the father I should have been when I was a young man raising a child. Okay? I wasn't there like I should have been, and I will accept responsibility for it, but I will not carry condemnation and guilt, because my lack was used as a tool in her life to make her better or make her bitter.
But humanity wants you to remain that beast, to carry that burden.
But I'm not going to stay there, see? You could at the time.
You know what to do at the time, and when you know better, you'll do better.
That's what we got to do. Understand that as we grow, we'll do better. But we can't go back and relive what went down. That's already past. And if people want to live in the past, that's where they got to live. And I can't do anything about it. Neither can you. So we do the best we can. And when we learn we're wrong, we correct that point and go on. But we don't go back and try to relive our whole life again. We can't.
Don't keep it at the sticking point.
No. Don't keep rubbing that blister, because all it'll do is get more painful. Okay? But we're not the ones to carry the load. The battle's the Lord's. All the struggles, all the labor belongs to God. He's the one that got it all taken care of. And it says these beasts it's talking about, is the ones that are weary, okay? They stoop and they bow down together. They could not deliver the burden. Hello, we can't carry the burden, can we? We got to realize we cannot carry this burden. And until you agree, you're going to keep going back trying to pick that thing up and place it on your shoulder, that place of responsibility that I got to carry this, I got to do this. And that's exactly what the whole religious Babylonian system out here they call the church is doing today. They're trying to place that thing, push it right back up on your shoulders, and you can't carry it. And God's telling you, you can't carry it. They could not deliver the burden. They themselves, or the soulless lives, are what? Are lived in captivity. The soulless life is lived how?
You live in a prison.
You live in a prison. You're in chains. You're in bars because you're trying to carry a burden that God did not put on you. You and the church system, the religious system, Babylon, has put upon you. You got to realize you got to lay it down. You know, you can make a mistake any day of your life, can't you? But you can't beat yourself up because you made a mistake. Learn from that mistake and move on. Don't worry about it. Mistakes are a gift of God. That's how you learn. You will never change until you make a mistake. As long as you think you're right, what would be the motive to change anything?
There wouldn't be. You wouldn't even think about it.
You wouldn't even conceive moving because you'd think you were right. But when you make that mistake and you realize, oh my goodness, this was wrong. Now I've got to rethink it and change something. And see, most people have a real hard time of doing that. That's that beast we're talking about, this beast we are.
And you can't change the way you think until you realize. So God lets you realize that
it's wrong. And when you find out it's wrong, there you go. Verse 3, he goes on and says, hearken, Shammah, listen to me. Hear me with the intent, to respond positively to what you hear. O house of Jacob. House of Jacob, who are we talking about? The natural man, the carnal man. And all the remnant or the surviving portion of the house of Israel, or the spiritual ones, right? Which are born by me from the belly and are carried or lifted from the womb. Okay? The womb is also symbolic of the female, the soulish side. He said, I'm going to lift you out of that. He said, I have carried you from the womb. I'm lifted you up. Okay? He's going to do it. Can you do it yourself? He said in verse 2, he said, they couldn't take care of themselves. They couldn't carry the burden. So someone else has to take it for me. And it's Christ. And for each one of you, anyone listening to my voice, the Christ within you is going to deliver you. I'm not going to deliver anybody. Dave is not going to deliver anybody. But Christ in you is the one that delivers you. Do you hear what I'm saying? The only one that's going to take care of you is the one in you. And even to your old age, I am he. Even to the hoary hair or the gray hairs, will I carry you. I have made you. I will bear you. Even I will carry and will deliver you. Who's doing it all? It's God or the Christ within you. He said, I brought you forth and I'll take you all the way to your old age till you die. I'm going to take you all the way. I'm not going to leave you out in the desert. I'm going to take you. I'm going to support you. I'm going to give you everything you need. That ought to encourage people. See, the church don't tell them this. They don't tell them these things. Verse 5, he goes on and says, to whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be alike? He said, now I've told you who I am and what I can do for you and what I am going to do for you. Now who have you got that you can compare to me? There's nothing that can compare to that. There's no one that has the capacity to do that. Even if someone said they could, they're lying.
Then whenever Jesus said that, then they said, we have to follow you because you have...
The words of life.
Yeah.
Where will we go? We got to follow you. Okay, verse 6, he said, they, who is the they?
That's the carnal man.
Yeah, that's the carnal man. They lavish... The word lavish isn't right. It should be pour. They pour gold out of the bag. Okay? They pour the gold out of the bag and they weigh the silver, okay, in the balance. And hire a goldsmith and he makes a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. Let's look at that a little closer. They pour the gold out of the bag and the silver. What do you think gold and silver represents? Yeah, it is. See, because there's a positive and a negative. The only thing, normally we would say gold is the nature of God and silver is redemption.
Yeah.
But see, this is the negative side of it. We're talking about idols here. It's their righteousness. It's man's righteousness that they put on this thing. It's their nature they put on this beast image that they made. Okay? It's idolatry. And so and they weigh it in the balance and they hire a goldsmith. They hire a man to make an idol that a man dreamed up, and then they call it a god, and they fall down and worship it.
And they put a steeple on top.
And they put a steeple on top of it, and stained glass windows in it.
Yeah. What silver here? Silver normally represents
redemption.
Mm-hmm. And that being on the positive side, being God providing redemption.
Yeah.
Right here, they're trying to man.
Yes, it's humanity. It's humanistic views
they're,
of everything.
They're trying to provide their right.
Their own stuff.
And it can't do it.
It's impossible. He already told us you can't do it, but they still want to do it. Verse 7, it goes on and says, they bear him upon the shoulder. They put him in a place of responsibility. Him being who? The idol. Their idol, their image that they have created. They put the responsibility on him. Okay, now you deliver us, they said, and set him on a place, and he stands there. He can't move. From his place shall he not depart. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet he cannot respond, nor deliver him from out of his female rival. Hello. What's a female represent?
Soul.
The soul. He said, This God you make cannot deliver you from your soulish condition. Do you hear that? It's your soulish condition. It's all hooked together. You know, what do you say? A house divided cannot stand. If Satan wrestles with Satan, you know, he can't win, can he? Okay. It's a house divided will fall. So he's saying, you're taking your soulish ways and making a soulish idol and then setting it up and expecting that soulish idol to solve your soulish problems that you created in your soul. Kind of like a tongue twister walking around a circle, but that's what it is. But that word literally means female rival or female wife, or speaking of your soul. And he says, now, remember this. Now, he wouldn't say remember if you hadn't known it at one time or another, would he? Remember this and show yourselves men, or literally act like men. Bring it again to your mind, you rebels. We rebelled. You can't rebel until you've already known the truth, can you? You have to know it before you can rebel or remember. In verse 9, he goes on and says this, remember the former things of old. There you go again. Remember. Because I am God. Now the word God here is different than the next word God. And there's a meaning in these two words of God. Now why would somebody, if I'm sitting here talking to you and I'm saying, I'm talking about Lisa. And I say, now Lisa is this and this, and then say, and Marie this. Why would I use two different names? If I'm talking about Lisa, why wouldn't I just say Lisa? I'm trying to convey something. Isn't that what this book is about? Conveying things to us? Okay. The first word here is the word El. It's 410 in the Hebrew dictionary, and it means the Almighty. It's representing the Father. Okay? So he says, I am the Father, and there is none else. And he comes back and says, I am God. He repeated it. But this word is Elohim. Okay? That's the plurality of God. That's saying, I'm the Father, but I'm also the Elohim. We are one, are we not? Didn't Jesus pray and say, Father, make them one with me as I am one with you, so that we all may be one? Okay? So he's talking about the corporate God, period. That God is incomplete without us, and we're incomplete without him. Right. You can't have, if God is the head of this Son, this Christ, then guess what? You can't see anything living without a head, can you? No. We've never been separated. Only in our heads did we think we were separated from God. All we're doing is remembering. Remember? Remembering. He said, if I go away in John 14, 26, I'm going to call all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said to you. You're not learning anything. You're remembering what God has told you from the beginning. And that's all it is. Remembering where you're supposed to be, remembering who you are, remembering who he is. And he's trying to tell you, look, I'm God. I'm the Father. But now we're talking about the plurality. We're talking about the Father and the first fruits united as one. And when you come to this remembrance, guess what you'll realize? We're one. See, we're united. We're one.
There's no Trinity there.
There is no Trinity, I guarantee you. See, we are one with God. There is only one. See, and it's a many-membered one. He says, declaring the end from the resheath. Now, the word from shouldn't be there to start with. Now let me read it to you again. Declaring the end, the beginning. The word beginning is resheath. Declaring the end, the first fruit.
It goes full circle.
See, the whole thing is about declaring the end, which is the first fruit. That started first, but they are the end. That's the purpose, isn't it? And from ancient times that are not yet done, saying, my counsel, or literally, my plan shall stand. Not multiples, but one. My plan shall stand, and I will do all my what? The word pleasure here doesn't do it any justice. It literally says, I will do all that is in my mind. Whatever God has a mind to be done will be done. There's nobody going to change that, are they? Now, that's what's wrong with humanity. They think they can change God. They think they can beg God or plead with God or manipulate Him like they do people and get them to do, get God to do what they want.
What was it, the one chapter where He says, I will, I will?
That's Adam. That was Adam, yeah, in Isaiah 14. Absolutely.
I'll do anything I want to.
Yeah, that's what you think. That's when your troubles multiply. He said, I'm going to do all that is in my mind, calling a ravenous bird. Now this ravenous bird, I don't know what you think when you read those words, but it should say a bird of prey. Now a bird of prey is not a bad bird, because everything in humanity and society or in the universe preys on something else, doesn't it? Even humanity preys upon other animals to survive.
Where'd it come from?
Huh?
Where'd that bird come
from? From God's mind. From the east, yeah. It came, but it says, well, yeah, you're going to read, it tells us that, but I didn't get there yet. Calling a ravenous bird from the east. And what does the east always represent? The sunrise. Huh? Sunrise coming up. But this bird of prey from the east. The man that what? The man, and in the words that executes, it should say the man. The man of my purpose. Okay? He said, I'm going to call this bird of prey from the east, the man of my plan or purpose from a far country. He's not going to call everybody from where they think they're coming from. The church thinks everybody's going to call them out of their seminaries. That's not where he's calling them from. He's calling them from a far country, from a way off somewhere. Yeah. He says, yes, I have spoken it, and I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed, or literally planned it. I will also do it. He said, I'm going to call them from places far off that nobody thinks. And you know, Portsmouth, Ohio, West Portsmouth, Ohio is a far off place to a lot of people. It is. You talked about people in parts of the world, and they can't even conceive West Portsmouth, Ohio. Can they?
I live here, and I can't conceive it.└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└················└
Ohio. And when she found her website and started listening, she said, can anything good come out of Portsmouth? She meant good by it. She was making a comment. She was making a compliment out of it, but she was making a joke out of it.
So, it's also, Dave, be from a far country, from the first and second realm.
Oh, yeah, they're way out there. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, in the mind, different realms of the mind. Yeah. That man's going to come forth. Well, he has to come from the first one, the farthest one away. You know, what we say, the Galilee, and what I showed you a while ago, from Galilee, the heathen circle, to Samaria, to get to Jerusalem, you know, to the mountains.
1 to 3.
That's the way it's got to go. First, second, and third. Okay. Verse 12, he says, hearken, Shammah, listen to me. He said, listen, he said, hear with the intent to respond positively to what you hear. Okay? You stout-hearted. Now this stout-hearted says something. It literally says stiff-necked, pig-headed, bull-headed, unreasonably rigid. Kind of sounds like religion, doesn't it? It does to me. I mean, I don't know what you see. I see religion all over that statement. Because they think that what they think is right and nothing else can be right. That's why there's over 25,000 denominations recognized worldwide. And, you know, God showed me and spoke to me something that I'll never forget. He said, the greatest form of idolatry is for you to think that what you know or believe is all there is. It can't be wrong. That's the greatest form of idolatry, is making my thoughts, that image in my mind, that I can't be wrong. If I think that, I'm already deceived, and I have no chance of ever progressing into the kingdom. I have to be able to say, I made a mistake. No, there's no shame in that, is there? You have to be humble enough to say, I could be wrong. I really believe what I believe right now, but you know what? Show me.
A little bit of light shines on it.
Yeah. That's right. Just a little ray of light gets through there, and it can change your whole view. And all I ask people to do, if you think I'm wrong, don't come screaming and hollering at me and accusing me and cussing me and threatening me. Just show me some proof that you're right and I'm wrong. That's all I'm asking. And usually that starts the war. All you got to do is just ask them to show proof and the war starts. So that verifies that what I'm saying is okay. I don't have to worry about them because I'm not trying to impress them anyway. And then it says, when he said about this hard-headed, this stout-hearted, the stiff-necked, pig-headed, bull-headed, unreasonably rigid, that are far from righteousness, that tells me they're probably out there around Galilee somewhere. Wouldn't you think? I think they're in Galilee. They might even have made it to Samaria, but they have not got to Jerusalem yet. Okay? And then he says, it goes on in verse 13, says, I bring near my righteousness. Well, I'm going to tell you what. He already has. That righteousness is already within you. It's Christ. Christ is the righteousness of God. Didn't the book say that? Christ is the righteousness of God. He's already brought it near. It's so near, it's within you. We have to realize these things. We have to bring them into the forefront and realize this is a done deal. He's taken care of everything. There's no detail left out. Father took care of it. I don't have to worry about it. It shall not be afar off. And literally the word far off should say, it shall not be removed. What I'm saying is you can't lose it. He gave the gift to you. The gifts are irrevocable, aren't they? And my salvation or my deliverance shall not tarry. He said, when I bring it forth, guess what?
It's a done deal.
They can't be removed and nothing can stop it. It's going to take its course. Once God got a hold of me, there was nothing I could do about it, and I have resigned to the fact that whatever God wants out of me, God's going to get out of me, and I'm not fighting Him over it. I may not like it, but you know what? I'm going to say, yes, sir, amen, I love you, Father, take me wherever you want to go. It's none of my choice. And that's all He's wanting you to do. Just submit unto Him. That's all there is to it. Not to a system, not to a man, not to a doctrine, but to submit unto the God, the Christ within you. That's all you got to do. You don't have to worry about anything else. It'll be taken care of. You know, Abraham didn't go to church anywhere. There wasn't a local church. There wasn't a church, was there? See, man's created these images in our minds and we believe them things. This building we're sitting in is not a church. It's a building. We are the tabernacle of God. That's the only one that we have to attend. We come together because we love each other and we're trying to learn more and share with each other. That's all. No control, no manipulation. The only one tell you what to do is God within you, that Christ that's already there. And He said, I will place my salvation or my what? My deliverance in where? What realm is that?
The highest
realm. That's the highest realm. Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. Mount Zion's the highest mountain in Jerusalem. Ophel, Moriah, Zion. It's the highest mountain.
It's in your mountain.
Okay? It's in the highest mountain in me. But look what He says after that. For Israel, my glory. He said, I'm going to put my deliverance in Zion, the highest realm, for Israel, the spiritual man, for my glory. He said, I'm going to put you there. Not to make you better, but for His glory. God's going to set us up there and say, see my Son, in whom I'm well pleased? Hear ye Him.
For
and you're the ones that's going to be doing it. We're the ones He's going to set up there and say, now, my well-beloved Son, do what I ask you to do. Oh, God, that's good. But you got to see these things. If you can't see them, will you ever accomplish them?
You're not going to see them unless He wants you to.
And you can't see them unless He wants you to. If He wants you to see them, you're going to see them and you'll accomplish what He set for you to do. Didn't He say up there, I will do all that's in my mind? Okay? I'm going to do whatever I want done. And whatever He wants done, you're going to do it. Could you imagine anybody saying no to God? Come on. Can you really think that? Someone who created the whole universe by saying, let there be, and a man's going to stand up and say, I'm not going to do it. I really can't conceive that in my mind. I can't wrap my mind around that. It would be worse than a fool. I don't know where to get anybody like that.
Stout-hearted religion.
Pig-headed. Yeah. Unreasonably stiff. Yeah, that's them.